This is Baptist Basics University, the course, Bus Ministry 101, lesson number 11, going the second mile. I'm Matthew Gage once again, your beloved teacher, I hope. Ha 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 ha. Pardon the pun. Let me turn my mic up just a little bit here. There we go. Looks a little bit better. I want a little bit more. All right. Still playing with my setup here. I've done quite a bit of recording with it, but I still hadn't quite got it down yet. All right, well, enough rambling. Let's get started. This is the last lesson in this course. I appreciate those of you who may have made all the way through. I hope that it's been a help and a blessing to you. I've tried to be very practical and very basic in dealing with the bus ministry. May not be the most spiritual look at it. I hadn't used a lot of verses and stuff like that. I hope you have that kind of stuff down, the need to evangelize and the reasons to go after kids and stuff like that. But I've tried to be very practical because I think that's something that is missing in a lot of the things out there on the bus ministry. Well, they'll get you worked up and emotional about reaching kids but they don't really help you in how to do it. So that's why I've tried to be very practical. And that's what we're going to try to do in this one, too. In this lesson, it's going to be probably a little bit short. I apologize for that. It's a very tremendous area. It's very needed. And it's really where very few bus captains go. Very few bus workers make it to this area. There's a lot of people out there who are bumps on logs when it comes to working in the bus ministry. They're just there. There are others who are adequate. There are others who, you know, who are really involved, that are really helpers. There are some that are very dynamic and they can get kids on. And as we're going up this scale, that percentage is decreasing. There's just fewer and fewer people. And probably the area that there are the fewest really effective workers is in the area of going the second mile with kids. We do a very good job at getting kids to church on Sunday, visiting them on Saturday. But a lot of times we let it all stop there. Now, I don't think that is what the Lord intended for our work to be. I think that there's a lot more to it. I think that you need to try it. And I'm not saying this because I am a great example of this. I am a very poor one. I'll be honest with you. I've seen some things and I've learned some things, like I've said many times before, and I want to pass that on to you. But I've seen some people who are very good at this, and I want to give you some things I kind of learned from them and just a few pointers on it. We can get a lot of kids to church when they are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And usually by about the time they're 10, we lose them. Now, before that, it's pretty easy. You can be a kid's buddy and they only see you once a week, but they're excited to see you. As the kids get older, they require a lot more attention and a lot more effort. I used to hear it say that you had to reach a kid before he was 12, or you probably would never reach him. Today, that's probably around 10, maybe 9 or 10, though, with the stuff the kids are into. And they really get too big for church very quickly. I know in our church, we can have 60 or 70 sometimes on the buses, and but as you get up into, you know, 5th and 6th grade, now right now we have quite a few. That's not always been the case. Right now we probably have, I don't know, 6 or 8, and we've even got a couple of like middle school age kids that come very faithful, and even a couple of high school kids that are very faithful. That is the exception, not the rule. I mean, you're talking probably less than 1% of the kids will stay faithful to church through the bus ministry that whole time. There's so much working against them in their home life and in with friends and the peer pressures in school. There's so much working against those kids. It's hard for them to stay in. Kids just get too cool for church eventually. It's just it's not fun. Now, part of that may be our programs. We don't have programs designed most of the time to reach these kids. I think we need to start implementing methods to keep those kids and these teens and the new fad, the tweens, into church and into adulthood. Listen, these are the form we can get kids saved, and I think we can make and influence them with a little bit more in morality. But if you want to make a good Christian person, you need to be able to reach them when they're a teenager and have an impact on their life. There's missionaries, preachers, Christian workers throughout the world that will reach the bus ministry. There's not a doubt about that. I've heard more than a few missionaries give their testimony that they were reached because of the bus ministry, whether they were a bus kid or maybe that's how their family got reached. Listen, there's many, many preachers who were reached that way. They didn't necessarily grow up in church or in a Christian home, but they were reached through the bus ministry. There's students in Bible colleges all across our nation that are there because of a bus captain. Listen, not every child is going to be a great spiritual giant. As I say, we are talking minuscule numbers here, far less than 1%, far less than a fraction of 1%, probably less than a thousandth of 1%. When you run the stats out, it's going to be very minuscule. But each and every one of those could be that one. And I think we can raise that number. I think we can do more. And I think we do need to do more. To do this takes a lot of effort. It's pretty easy to get a 5 or 6 year old kid excited about church and have them come. You can give them a piece of 5 cent bubble gum and they're excited and they'll love you. You can tell a couple jokes and be crazy and they love you. But as kids get older, they need more. They need more than just a 10-minute visit on Saturday and a couple hours on Sunday. It goes far beyond the programs and the promotions and the candy and the songs and the visit. It goes so far beyond everything we've talked about in the previous 10 lessons. It really takes a heart of a bus worker that's on fire and passionate and burdened for these young people. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times we have a burden to reach them for Christ, but we don't have that burden to disciple. And let me remind you that I firmly believe this, by the way, that the Great Commission is a threefold commission. And we are very good at the first part of it, but we really fall short on the rest of it. The Bible says that we're supposed to go into all the world and teach all nations, messing that up, but the threefold commission is this, okay? And I can't quote the verse at the moment. I should have looked it up, but it says we're supposed to win people to Christ. We're supposed to preach Christ to them. We're supposed to teach them. That's winning people to Christ. That is giving them the gospel, them being saved. Secondly, we're supposed to baptize them. That is getting them into the church. That is going a step further. That's there's a lot of practical stuff to that we could get into, but that's the second part. And the third part is then teaching them and discipling them so that they can reach people, so that they can be a Christian. We get a lot of kids saved when they're 4 or 5 years old. You may get a lot of those baptized. There's a lot of very practical things we talked about in previous lessons about that. You can probably get a lot of those baptized. But a lot of times we don't disciple very well. How many of your kids' baseball games have you been to? You want to make their day? Show up at some. Now, that takes some time and some effort. But if you really want to reach some kids, it's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot more than a couple hours on Saturday and a couple hours on Sunday. It's going to take a lot of focused time and effort. Now, every kid, every situation is different. There's no set method that I know of, no 5-point plan to get you there. There's, I've never seen anything on that. In fact, I've seen very little even on this subject. And every kid's different. Some kids need a lot of attention. Some kids need you to be their buddy. Some kids need you to be a bully to them. Some kids need you to love them. Some kids need you to laugh at them. That's something you'll have to fill out and do it. But as I said, this is so much time, so much effort. Let me give you just a few very quick things here, and maybe I'll ramble and make it a little bit longer. But I just got four very, very quick things here I want to talk to you about. The first thing is you need to take a personal interest in their lives and their interests. Now, this isn't, condoning sin. You know, if they're involved in a rock band, you know, little garage rock band, that you're going to go and do that. Or if the girl's in beauty pageants, that you would go and attend that. No, we're not talking about that. But let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with going to a baseball game. Hey, these kids got little league baseball games. Well, why don't you go? I mean, you can go. You don't have to go to every one of them. But I tell you what, if you go to one, you probably went to as many as their grandparents did. And so you gotta be careful. There's a point you don't need to cross to where, you know, you look like a stalker or something like that. But you do need to take a personal interest. Go to a band concert. Go to their football games. Those are very, very practical things you can do. And most kids are involved in something along those lines, whether it be sports or a band concert. You know, once they get up a little bit older in middle school age, and, you know, they play in the band in school. Not a rock band, you know, when talking about the, like, marching band kind of stuff, which I did. I'm a recovering trumpet and tuba player myself. But doing stuff like that means a lot to those kids. May have to learn a little bit about them. Maybe they like coins. Maybe they like reading books. Maybe, you know, get into their hobbies. Every kid's got them. Maybe they like horses. You know, that's just something you can do and show some interest in them. Because, I mean, a lot of times parents brush people off or brush their kids off and with that. And that's a way you can really make and get an attachment with these kids. And okay, maybe it's not the most spiritual things. I mean, you can load them up and take them to a revival meeting, and load them up and take them to a youth rally, and you can load them up and take them to church. And that's good, and you can have a tremendous impact on their life. And in fact, that's kind of my next point there. But if you really want to make a connection with the kid, you need to show some interest in who they are and what they're about. I've heard it said that you will never reach somebody for Christ until they trust you, until they believe you. And that when you're witnessing, the first thing you have to do is make a connection with the person. If there's not a connection made there, that they don't trust you, they don't believe you, that, you know, when you try to present the gospel, they're not going to be receptive. And that's true there. And it's very true about this, too. If you want to disciple young people, you need to have them, you need to have their trust. They need to know that you genuinely care about them, that you generally take an interest in who they are. And I said that's a lot of time, a lot of effort, and you won't have to be a fairly outgoing person, probably. I'm a very quiet person by nature, but I mean, it's going to take a lot of effort. You're going to probably stretch your comfort zone a little bit to do this. But that's one thing you need to do, is take some interest in who they are, what they're about, what they like, and go from there. You'd be surprised how much. You know, that's one of those things. I remember I read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, and that point is brought up in there, that if you're talking to somebody, you know, find out, kind of feel out what they like, and then ask them about it. And how you can go on. In fact, the story popped in my mind. In fact, there's a reason why I mentioned that, even, because I remember the story from the book The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom, talking to a doctor, and she happened to see a picture of some dogs, and she actually had read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, and remembered that point. And so she talked to him about the dogs, and she didn't even like dogs, But she talked to him and they said, oh, you know, just warned the doctor right there and that he gave her some medicine or something. I don't remember the exact setting of the story, but that, as I say, is very practical and it works. Okay. And by the way, that book may have a lot of negative connotation a lot of times from a lot of people, but I have to say it's actually a fairly good book. A lot of very practical stuff in that would help a lot of people, by the way. Just my little half endorsement on that. Can't totally endorse it, but it'd probably be a very good read for a lot of people. A lot of very practical stuff in it. The second thing, let's move right along here. Get them involved. Get them in the ministry. Plug them into something. Now, this is something a lot of churches do with people coming. If somebody comes and joins the church, you know, they immediately will put them as an assistant helper in the second grade Sunday school class or something. You can do that with the young people, too. Get them and give them a job on your bus route. The older kids, give them a job. Take them visiting with you. But give them a little bit of responsibility. Get them involved in the youth group, even, you know, if they're that age. Don't just kind of keep them to yourself, but get them involved in the youth group. Get them going on activities and stuff like that. And then once you kind of get them in, and you can keep challenging them to do more and help them to grow there. But then, you know, start at something basic, you know, let them be take role on your bus or something like that. Or let them go up, you know, run up and knock on the doors and stuff, be your runner. But do something very simple and give them something to do. That goes a long way in getting people to keep coming to church because they're actively involved in it. Number three, spend personal time with them. Take them out for ice cream. You know, take them out for go get a burger. A lot of things like that. You know, outside of the realm of the normal Saturday and Sunday routine. In the bus route and in church and stuff, or even just the general Saturdays and Wednesdays or at church, spend personal time. And even this goes even beyond going to a baseball game, but be able to spend some personal time with them. Now, listen, you know, in today's day and age, you got to be very careful with your image and your testimony and doing stuff like this. And if the parents aren't comfortable with this, hey, you can't go anywhere. Cause, listen, there's a lot of sick people out there when it comes to kids, and you got to be careful about this. I don't think I would do this one-on-one. I think I would always have somebody else with me, or have maybe two or three kids or something, but I would not let just you and one kid in a situation alone or anything. You've got to really guard your testimony in today's day and age. In fact, I'm afraid with all that stuff that's been going on, and it's kind of quieted down the last few months, but I am really afraid that in the coming years, maybe within the next 5 or 10 years, and I don't want to sound all doom and gloom because I'm usually not, and I try very hard not to be, but I really would not be surprised if there are at least efforts to put a stop to things like the bus ministry because of this. And I mean, not just popular opinion, but I think through laws, through the legal system, I think there will be things take place that will make it very difficult to have a children's ministry without some type of licensing or oversight. And it honestly may make it just too hard to even do. It may even be banished altogether. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with some of this, these sexual predators and stuff out there. It's scary. It's sick. And the ones inside churches, and hey, it's not just a Catholic problem. You know, they all have them, and Baptist churches have them too. I've heard stories about that too. I'm afraid that eventually, because of some of that stuff, that bus ministries may be shut down. I hope not. I hope and pray not. But it very well could happen. So you need to be very careful in doing that. But nonetheless, you need to be able to spend some personal time with them. They need to be able to see that you're a real person, that you're not just some freak, and that you are the same person on Thursday that you are on Saturday. They need to see what a Christian life is, not just what a Christian is at church, but what you are in everyday life. You need to be a good example to them in that. You know, in fact, I think a lot of times the reason why we have trouble in discipling people is just because we're inconsistent in our own lives. That we can really hit the mountaintops on Sunday, but we live in the valley the rest of the week. And I think that's one of the things. It's very hard for us sometimes to work with people, just because, you know, we don't feel spiritual, or maybe we know we're doing things wrong the rest of the week, and we put on a good act on Sunday. So it takes a lot of consistency. You really got to have a good testimony. And that's really, you know, you always hear it said that your testimony and stuff adds power to your witness. It adds power to your discipleship, too. Okay, last thing, get them to church services and special meetings. Don't just stop. If you've got a kid, now, listen, every kid, you can't do everything I've talked about. You can't do this with every single kid. But there's going to be kids that have a genuine interest, that aren't troublemakers, that you can do this stuff with. If you've got a kid that just seems to really love the Lord, that really has a genuine interest in it, get them to church. Don't just bring them on Sunday morning. Get them to the regular church services. Get them their Sunday night, Wednesday night, your midweek services, youth rallies, revival meetings. Yeah, be able to get them there. Now realize there's a point you can't go beyond, and you don't want to steal the kid from their family. I mean, you got to be very careful with stuff like that too. And I know we're doing a lot of good work, and we're really influencing kids for good and being the best influence they have. But you have to be very careful in taking them too much from their family. Listen, I'm a big time believer in the home and in the family as God ordained it. And don't get too pragmatic in your thinking about this and think you can just steal them away from the family and you become a new father or mother to these individuals. You can't do that. They're still going to have their family no matter what. So you've really got to fill it out. And don't become a strain on them either. You got to make sure that your kid, the kid that you're working with, that you're discipling, is wanting to do this, and that the parents are on board for what you're doing. A lot of parents just really honestly don't care. Hey, if that's what little Johnny or Susie wants to do, that's fine with me. I don't want to do it. But if they want to do it, that's fine. Especially if that kid is showing progress and growth, you know, and the relationship with their parents, if they're not back talking anymore and things like that, you know, then the parents are really going to be on board for it. But anyway, boy, I'm really rambling on this. It's very short on the page. Aren't you amazed? Anyway, that's what happens. God calls you to preach, and He gives you that rambling. So anyway, get them to church services and special meetings anytime you can. Get them plugged into the church. And that's just some very simple things on going the second mile with your bus riders. Now, you may not have any kids that are really that caliber. You may have a bunch of hooligans. That happens. But most bus routes I've seen have a handful, 1, 2, 3, 4 kids that really have some potential. And if you really work with them, if you really spend some time with them, you could really make an impact in that young person's life. I'm thinking right now of a young lady. I don't want to mention her name. And I don't want to give too many specifics on this. I don't want to mess her story up. But was a bus kid, abused, horrible, wrecked home life, practically no home life, but even was physically abused. And just happened to get in church through a bus ministry and stayed in church, and the people there really took her in and were help to her. And I know that one person in the church in particular that was on staff really took her under his wing and basically became a new father to her, and stuck with her through some very hard times and even in her life, and she didn't know what she wanted to do, and came up finally. She graduates high school, gets into Bible college, and ends up marrying a young man who was going to be a missionary. And today she's a fine Christian mother. And honestly, even talking to her and being around her, you would never think she came from that kind of background. I mean, God has just worked a miracle in her life, and just a tremendous individual. But it all goes back to somebody went the extra mile with her. Somebody spent some extra time, really cared, saw that diamond in the rough, and really put their effort into it. You know, I think of the some of the parables in the Bible, the parable of the treasure in the field, that the man, somebody bought the field because there's a treasure in it. I think of the pearl of great price, that the guy was looking for goodly pearls, and he found just the most fantastic pearl of all, and he went and sold everything to get this one this one pearl. The Bible's full of illustrations like that. Listen, not every kid is a gem. Some are fool's gold. Some are lumps of coal. I've had quite a few of those. But every now and then you're going to come across someone that's very precious. Maybe they're a ruby, maybe they're emerald, maybe they're a diamond. But every now and then you're going to come across a really special young person. When you do, you need to treasure them, you need to work with them, you need to help them be the best they can be. Because God put them under your care, under your ministry, to help them grow. And I pray that you do that. I pray that you get excited. I pray that you get a heart for your kids. Get a heart for those people on your bus routes. I hope that maybe you think of one. I say most of this stuff really applies to older kids, 5th, 6th grade, middle school, high school age kids. Again, it's hard to do a lot of this with 5 or 6 year old, but maybe you've got one like that. Maybe you've got a very faithful a young person, a young lady, a young man on your bus route that really wants to serve the Lord, really has a heart for it, and maybe it's your responsibility to help them grow to reach their potential. You know, when I got married, I told my wife that I wanted to help her be the best person she could be. I don't want to hold her back, but I want her to be the best that she can be. And I think in a lot of ways I've done that now. What does that have to do with this? You know, if you really love somebody, you want them to be the best they can be. If you really love that bus kid, and praise God they got saved, praise God they got baptized, but let's fulfill the Great Commission. Let's get that third step down. Let's disciple them. Who knows? Maybe they are the next Billy Sunday. Maybe they are the next Charles Spurgeon. Maybe they are the next John Wesley. You never know. Now, they could be the next Jack the Ripper or Jesse James or Adolf Hitler. I mean, you never know. But don't take the chance of losing a precious, precious prize, a precious, precious individual. I wonder sometimes if we haven't set ourselves back in our independent fundamental Baptist movement because we don't fulfill the Great Commission completely. We fulfill it 1/3 or 2/3. And we don't go that last step. We don't go the extra mile with our converts. We don't go the extra mile with those people in our ministries. Listen, you could apply this in a lot of different areas. Maybe you got a Sunday school class. I teach a 7th to 8th grade Sunday school class. You know what? I need to be more to those kids than just 30 or 45 minutes on Sunday. I really need to be a bigger impact in their lives. And I've got a very good relationship with a lot of them. I do. And I mean, I can talk and kid around with them outside. I mean, you know, it's not, our relationships aren't limited just to the Sunday school class. But, you know, I could do a lot more. We all could. So I hope and pray that this lesson's been a challenge to you, get you a little stirred up, give you a passion, give you a heart for reaching young people. Not just reaching them for Christ, praise God for everyone that does, but really helping them to be the best they can be. I remember that. I used to have a little camouflage pen, writing pen, P-E-N. A little metal thing you twist in the middle, but it was camouflage, and it had the old Army slogan on it. You know, you said, U.S. Army, be all you can be. Yes, and that's a great goal for all of us. We need to be all we can be, but we need to help all those around us to be the best they can be also. Help those bus kids reach their potential. Sky is the limit for a young person. Never know. Never know what you have. Maybe you never have anybody be in the ministry. Maybe you never have anybody really even stick to it, but you might just keep somebody in church. And who knows, you may have the next pastor of the church right there. Never know. So go out there, win them. And go out there and work them. Well, that's going to conclude this set of lessons, Baptist Basics University Bus Ministry 101. I deeply appreciate you listening. I hope that it's been a blessing listening. I hope you got something out of me stuttering and rambling and such. But I hope that I've been able to put together some good information to help you. I hope that I can, just like I was just talking about, help you be the best you can be through this. And I pray that your ministry and the lives of these bus kids is enhanced, is strengthened. Go out there and find some kids. Get them on the bus. Let's win them to the Lord. Let's get them baptized. Let's keep them on that bus. And hey, those that we can, let's keep them in church. Let's just see how far we can take them. Never know. Thanks again, and I hope that you'll listen in again real soon, or maybe another course. Thanks a lot.